28 years ago, Tammy and I, we were been married for like 4 years. We had our first daughter, Tricia. She was almost two, and our second daughter was on the way. And we were living in a little two-bedroom apartment down by the beach, which was really nice. And we were enjoying that, but we had another daughter on our way, and Tammy was really concerned about when we need to get a bigger place because it's not going to be big enough. Well, I was an associate pastor at a church at that time, and I had a housing allowance of like $600 a month. So we had to find something that was going to be about $600 a month, right? And that was going to be something nice, and we were hoping to purchase something, all right? And so we thought, God, this has got to be a miracle. Something, a miracle's got to happen because there's no way we can do this on what I'm making right now. You know, I think I was making $450 a week. And from the church, because churches always pay really good. You know that, don't you? But so I thought, okay, Lord, something's got to happen. Well, I remember it was Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, and so it was December 24th. And we had a realtor call us up, and she called us up and said, hey, there's this house. It just came off the market, just fell out of escrow. The owners don't even know that it's fallen out of escrow yet. And so we want to show you guys this house. And so Tammy and I went over and looked at it. And I brought my dad with us. And we looked at the house. And it was a little two-bedroom house, but it had a backyard. And it had a front yard. And it was in Long Beach. And so they said, the owners don't even know it's out of escrow. It's for $87,500 is the price of the house. You know? And so this was on December 24th. And so Tammy was 7.5 months pregnant, you know. And so I walked her through, you know, and she says, I want it. And I'm going, you're kidding. Really? It looked like drug dealers had been living there because it just everything that it was pretty thrashed. And the grass in the backyard was almost 3 feet tall. And so I didn't know what we'd find underneath that, you know, the bodies or whatever. But so but my dad said, you know what, we'll take it. And so he paid for it cash, you know. And he gave it to us and said, your rent on it is going to be $600 a month.
Wow.
$600 a month. Then 2 years later, we were actually able to buy it from him for that same price. But I realized that at that point, you know what, there was no way that I could have done this on my own. No way. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the finances or anything like that to make it happen on my own. You know, and I realized, you know, my dad came through at a time when I really needed help. I really, really needed help. And he helped us. He helped us get into the house. Later on, he just said, Jimmy says, I'll pay for the materials. And as long as you provide the labor, you can build it to however big you want to build it. So I did. And it was very exciting. We are now in a series called, we're on a God search. We're on a God search. And we're looking at a book, going through a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and discovering how as Jesus followers, we can experience God in a more personal and real way. Through this series, we've looked at how and we realize that when God is at work around us all the time, God's always doing stuff. And we've seen that. We see that God is always pursuing. He's always pursuing a love relationship with us because he wants to build this relationship with us. And then he invites us, as we develop a love relationship with him, he invites us to be a part of what he's doing in the world of touching lives. We've learned that God speaks to us to give us direction and insight into what he's doing, and he speaks through his word, he speaks through prayer, he speaks through other believers, and he speaks through circumstances to help us, to guide us, and lead us along the way we should go. And then when God speaks, we learn that we face choices of whether we're going to believe God and follow what he says and change, or not believe him and stay like we are, and to where we would stay in our own reality. But when we choose to believe God and change, we realize we need to make certain adjustments in our lives to join God in accomplishing His purposes. And finally, we come to know that and experience God more as we obey Him, and then He accomplishes His work through us. All this is just wonderful, and I was thinking about this week, you know, this whole process of what God is doing. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know what, Lord? I can't do this on my own. I can't do this. I can't change on my own. I can't do any of this on my own. I need You. I need You to help me. I need You to help me do all these things, God, You want to do in my life. Because we can't do any of them on our own. All right? I realized that. I said, Lord, I need You. I need You to change me from being a disobedient child to being an obedient child. From being rebellious to being submitted. From being self-centered to being God-centered. I need His help in my life to change me from glory to glory. I need Him. I just need Him. And we as a body, we need Him to help us to God. What's the next process? What's the next step You have for us in our lives as a church? We need You. We need You. So I titled this message, The Help We Need. All right? Because we need, guys, we need help. We're goofed up, all right? So we need help. We need God's help to work in our lives. And I thought, okay, where do you and I need help? Where do you and I need help? All right? I could probably ask you that, and everybody raise their hand. You have different place. I need help here. I need help here. Well, here's the thing that I said. You know what? I need help, and you and I need help to be lights in this world. We need help to be lights in this world, don't we? Where when people look at us, they would see followers of Jesus. They would look at us and they say, what is it about you that makes you so positive, so upbeat, so confident that good things are going to happen? What is it about your life that attracts me to you? We're believers and non-followers of Jesus would look at us and they'd say, you guys got to be following Jesus. I know that. Something's going on here. It only makes sense that you're a follower of Jesus. Because of how your life is. All right? I can't do that on my own. I can't be a light, and I can't. Something has got to happen inside of us. Something transforming has to happen. And God has to do it. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, this is in the message. He says, here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. Jesus said, if I make you a light bearer, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on the light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I need help doing that, all right? All of us are like light bulbs, but if I just hold a light bulb in my hand, I ain't gonna do diddly, all right? Possibly. You know, but if all of a sudden I screw that thing into electricity, what's gonna happen, man? It's gonna give light. That's what God's calling us to do. But I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. Where else do you and I need help? I need help to live an abundant life. To live abundant life. To live an abundant life. Where the life that I am now living, where I could say it's exciting, it's fulfilling, it's dynamic. All right? That's what Jesus promised. All right? Jesus said, man, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? That's his promise. That's what he said. He wants us to be living. And so can you say about your life, you know what? My life is dynamic, exciting, fulfilling. Is that what you say about your life right now? Right? We should be, because that's the type of life Jesus promised to give us. And if we're not living there, then all of a sudden there's something wrong. Either we're not plugged in, we're not hooked up. We're not experiencing him the way that he wants us to experience him. All right? That's his heart. He wants... My daughter, my youngest daughter right now, she works for the Mega Ramp. I don't know if you know what that is. Mega Ramp. Have I said this before talking about this? She works for the Mega Ramp. What she does all the stats on that. She does like little videos. The Mega Ramp is a 100-foot ramp that they have that they usually take to different countries. It's a 100-foot ramp that guys get on a skateboard, 100 feet up in the air. They go off this, it's like a ski jump with a skateboard, all right? So they go off this big, long ramp, and then they go 40 feet in the air, and then they hit a big 25-foot half pipe, all right, on skateboards. It's insane. I've seen some of these guys crash, all right? They go off it with skateboards. And I mean, this is exciting to them, dare to say, all right? But I mean, it's like they get up for this, and I mean, they fill stadiums with people coming to see them crash. Well, I mean, to see them make it, you know? But they do. People come to those things and watch them crash, you know? Because it's just, I mean, it's thrilling to watch them. They do all kinds of tricks in the air and everything else. Just go, insanity, insanity. But it's called extreme sports, all right? Extreme sports. Well, Jesus said, I have come that they might have an extreme life. Have it to the max. And so can you say that about your life right now, that you know what? My life is dynamic, exciting, fulfilling. Everything I could dream of and more. That's what he wants. That's what he's promised. So if we're not there, what's wrong? All right, where are we not plugged in? Where are we not hooked up? So I need help to get there. I need help to actually have that in my life. I need help to bear fruit. I need help to bear fruit. I can't do it on my own. I can't go, patience, self-control. Just doesn't happen like that, all right? I can't will it into my life. There's got to be something that's actually working inside of me, bringing that out inside of my life and inside of your life. Bearing fruit, you know. Jesus said in John 15, 4 and 5, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Really? I sure try hard. And so do you. All right? Because we all try really, really hard to do stuff without him. All the time. But if I'm going to do anything that's going to bear fruit, I have to remain in him. I need him. I need his help. I need his help. Where else do you and I need help? I need help experiencing God in my life. All right? I need help experiencing him. I need help this, so that he would show me what to do, where to do it, how to walk, what to say, when not to say stuff. I need his help. Because you know what? Left to myself, I can get in trouble. I can. And I do. Because I make lots of choices at times apart from him. And then all of a sudden I go, oh, why did I do that? Oh, shoot. Oh, not another time. And so do you. But I need his help to experience him, to where all of a sudden the things that I'm doing are the right choices. They're having the right results, bringing him the greatest glory in my life. Jesus said in John 14, 12 through 14, it says, I'm telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. That scripture always astounds me. And at times I'm still waiting for those greater things. You know? Where he says, those that believe, do you guys believe in Jesus? Yes. All right? That's why you're here.
Right.
All right? How many greater things have you done than he's done? Just curious. So was he faking it here? Was he telling a fib? Or is he telling the truth? And all of a sudden, God, there's something that I'm just not getting. What is it? What is God doing? He says, greater things than these they will do, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. I long. And I still do long for God for those things to happen. Not only in my life, in the church's life, in our lives, to where our lives are dynamic, fulfilling, exciting all the time. I say, is there something wrong with that? I don't know about you, but that's what I signed up for. All right? Besides getting an escape out of hell, you know, I signed up for it. Lord, man, if this stuff is true, that's what I want. And God, if that's what you want in my life, I want whatever you want in my life. That's what I want. So I need help in experiencing God. I need help just to live my life. I need help to live my life. I need help to be a pastor. I need God's help to be a dad. I need God's help to be a father. I need God's help to be a construction worker, a worship leader, a neighbor, a son, a friend. I need God's help. Because I read earlier, on my own, apart from him, I can do nothing. Nothing. So where don't I need God's help? There's no area in my life I don't need God's help. I need his help in every area of my life. So why do I choose to live independent of him? I'm a bonehead. What is it, you know? You know, in so many areas of our lives, what is it? It's like I don't want to, but I do. And that's why I need his help. I need him, God, to continue to come in, continue to interrupt my life, continue to interrupt the way I think life is and my reality, and bring forth your truth, God, to change me, to be who you want me to be. Because apart from you, I can't do anything that's going to actually accomplish anything good, long-lasting, eternal, that's going to bring change. I can't, but God, you can. So Lord, how do I hook into you? How do I hook into you? Because I need help. Who is our help? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our help, all right? You know, Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, God himself is our help. He's a person. A real person is our help. Even like my dad was a very real person to help me get into my first house. God is a very real person who wants to help us through life and get us from this stage to the next stage to the next stage, from glory to glory as we look at him. The Holy Spirit is our help. Jesus said in John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another helper, another one just like me to help you and be with you forever. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will give you somebody just like me. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Somebody just like me that has my same heart, has my same desires, has my same truths, has the same makeup as I do. Jesus said, I'm sending him to you so that he can be with you forever, so that he can help you do all those things. He can help you bear fruit. He can help you be lights in this world. He can help you live an abundant life. He can help you experience God. He can help you live life. I'm sending him because I know without him, it ain't going to happen. But with him, it will happen. We need the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. In John 16, 13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he makes known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me and he will make it known to you. The Holy Spirit's always, he's our communicator. He's the one that's always trying to talk to us. He's the one that's always trying to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. He is our very present help in time of need. Always the Holy Spirit. Psalm 121, 1 through 2, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I need the Holy Spirit to experience God. To experience God. And how does he do that? The Holy Spirit does it by reminding us of what he has said, of what Jesus has said. He reminds us. He's reminding us of what Jesus has said. That's why you need to be in the Word too. You need to read your scripture. John 14, 6, 26 says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. All right? Now still, I mean, I still feel young. I still feel young. Right, even though I know, but I'm beginning to get Alzheimer's disease. All right, and I realize that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that helps me remember those things about God, the things that I've read, the things I've heard, His truth, His love, His heart for me. He reminds me when the enemy says, "You know what? You're done. You're over. God's done with you." You know, there's nothing more you could do. You've messed up one too many times, Jim. God will not forgive you again. Then I can go back and say, no, I don't think that's not true. That's not true because I know that my God, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. He's the God of the second chance and third and fourth and 150th. All right? Because one, he loves me and he loves you and he wants this relationship. And so he reminds me of those things he has said. The Holy Spirit helps me experience God by convicting me of sin. By convicting me of sin. Was it Paul? Paul said that, you know what, I wouldn't have known sin except the law said you should not covet. He says, oh, I shouldn't covet? Oh, God, you spoke those words. And now all of a sudden when I covet, I realize, oh, I'm doing something wrong, aren't I? You know? When all of a sudden I'm greedy or I'm prideful or I'm angry at somebody, I realize, that's not right. That's not Jesus. When I lie or deceive, I just, all of a sudden, I mean, that thing's there saying, Jim, you really want to go here? Yeah. No. Yeah. You know, and he's there convicting me of my wrong choices. It's a Holy Spirit working in me. Not something that naturally is there that I just get excited about doing, but he's there convicting me so that when I can experience God and who God is. He's there giving me words to pray. So we have all these items and things that we pray for at the beginning of service, you know. God's the one that's leading and guiding. That's what I'm praying for. God, just lead and you guide. Even as you pray for other people. It's like, God, you're the one that's leading me and guiding me. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, wouldn't it be exciting? Wouldn't it be exciting, especially on a Sabbath, if we came here and when there were prayer requests of different people, somebody's hurt or somebody's sick or somebody's just frustrated about different types of life, that all of a sudden, two or three people around them would just lay hands on them and just begin to pray. Yeah. Well, wouldn't that be interesting? That almost sounds like body ministry. Huh, okay. You know, but I think, now that would be exciting. That would be very exciting. And may God bring it forth. You know, as we listen to his Holy Spirit, as we are moved and guided along by him. And as we learn to trust him more and more. So he gives me words to pray for people. And he wants to give you words to pray for people. He helps me to experience God by reminding me that God is at work in my life. He's reminding me that God is at work in my life. Tuesday morning, I woke up, I get up, and I have a small group that I meet with on Tuesday mornings of guys. It's kind of an accountability group where we talk about, you know, how's life going? How are you doing with your wife? How are you doing with your finances and how that stuff going? You know, are we honoring God with what we have and what he's given us? And so we do that just to kind of keep each other accountable. Well, before my friend had got there, I was actually reading through Psalm 59. And Psalm 59 talks about, Lord, when my enemies come against me and when they're rising up, when they kind of gather in dark rooms, kind of just laying wait for me and trying to hurt me, Lord, protect me. God, you protect me. God, you go, you subvert their plans and subvert the things that they're wanting to do in my life. And I was reading this going, God, Lord, that's a great little scripture, but I don't know what it's got to do with me today. But because it's my daily reading, so I read it. Well, my friend came in. He was kind of downcast. I said, what's going on, David? He says, I got this thing going on today. He's a choir director at a high school, and they have a policy that if students are not passing classes, they cannot perform on stage. And so he found out that one of his students was not passing a class, but she was in a quartet, and they had a choral concert, and so he had her sing off stage with a microphone, just so the other three could be on stage and singing in the quartet, so they wouldn't have to totally, you know, all of them wouldn't kind of be dissed for not being able to, after they had practiced so much. So he had her standing off stage. Well, they were bringing him to task in front of they're writing him a bad note and whatever they do at schools, I don't know. but they're bringing him before the board, and just because he did this, and because he didn't follow policy completely, he's just going, she didn't sing on stage. Yeah, she sang and you could hear her voice, but it was only so the other three. And he thought, Lord, he said, Jim, I try not to do anything wrong. I said, dude, what a bummer. So he prayed, and then all of a sudden, as he went out to his car, I ran out there and said, Psalm 59, that's your psalm today. You know? And I realized, God, that was you speaking to me for David today. That was your heart for him. You know? Because you're wanting to speak to me, God. You're wanting to remind me that you're at work in whatever I'm doing. You're at work. Wednesday night, I went to a, a friend's house. They're my missionary friends. They're here from Zambia. And he's over there training doctors and nurses how to deal with AIDS. And so he's been just such an incredible help to in Zambia. Started 22 clinics all throughout Zambia, and I've been over there twice to see him. But so they were over here, and I was over there just praying with them, talking to them, and just talking about the things that God is doing, and how God is just at work, you know, not only here but also over there. Thursday night, then I was sitting at home, and I was planning on leasing solar for my house, you know. It's a new thing. You want to be green. You want to be good. All right. So, go solar. So anyway, I had these guys come over, and they were talking to me about solar stuff, and I found out that they're two Israelis. This guy and his sister. They're here from Israel. She just got here 3 months ago. He's been here for about 9 years. And so I was talking to them. Oh, I'm getting ready to go, you know, next month. They said, oh, really? And so we were talking, and they came over about 4 o'clock. And they were supposed to be an hour long type of a meeting, and they end up staying till 8:30. Why? Because they asked, they said, well, what do you do? And usually when that happens, they go, okay, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of Seventh-day Baptist Church, you know, and I do construction, do this other stuff. They said, do you really? What have you been talking to your congregation about lately? Okay. So anyway, I get in this whole long thing of experiencing God. And how God is at work all around us. And God is always, always pursuing a love relationship with us. Always desiring us to be a part of what he's doing. Because he wants us to be changed. He wants us to experience him in ways that we've never... You know, so I just go on this spiel. And I keep on trying to pull back because I've never tried to just push stuff on people. But you know what? If they ask, I'm going to shut up. Amen. You know, but I say... But after they left and then they said... Would you please come to our house on a Sabbath evening? Because we'd love to have Shabbat with you. I said, I would be honored. I'd be honored. But as they left, I thought, God, Lord, you do this stuff to remind me that you're at work and all you want me to do is just listen. The Holy Spirit's always there trying to remind us that he's at work and he wants to use us if we just listen and just say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yesterday morning, I took 6 young people between 15 and 22 to the beach surfing to teach them how to surf, you know? And so we were sitting there on the front, you know, on the beach and just sitting there just praying, just God, thanking God for his blessing, his creation, all that he's done in our lives. But each time, each day is a day where we can just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, would you work? Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for all that you show us. And all you want to be involved in our lives. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purposes. God's doing it. We need help. When should we ask for help? Every day in every situation for all things. All right. Every day. We need to ask. We need to say, Holy Spirit, would you work in my life today? When we wake up in the morning, just say, Holy Spirit, would you guide and lead me today into the things you want me to do? So the Lord will be sensitive to you. As followers of Jesus, that's really what we need to be doing all the time. You know how easy it is to get off track? It doesn't take much encouragement for me to get off track, all right? It just doesn't. That's why I need his guidance. That's my phone now. Really? I can't turn it off. I'm going to take out the battery. But anyway. Every day. Every day. Every morning. All the time. We just need him. We need him. He is our help. And he's there. It's like he's there saying, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is invite. I always bring up marriage just because in all my weddings that I do, and in my premarital counseling and everything else that I do, I always tell couples, I usually give them five suggestions, and my five suggestions are these, and I'll go through it really, really shortly, you know, after we do kind of little homily and little sermonette. I say, there's a first suggestion. First suggestion is with a married couple, remove three words out of your vocabulary. You know what those three words are? Never, always, and divorce, all right? Those are fighting words, all right? And replace those with these three phrases. I'm sorry, which I usually say to the guy, you need to say this a lot. To the woman, I say, you need to say, I forgive you. And then you need to say, I love you, all right? Because the guy needs to hear that he's forgiven, and the guy's always going to say, because guys are just guys, they're going to say, I'm sorry, because he's always goofing up. But, so that's first suggestion. Second suggestion is this. Second suggestion is this. I say, find time to water your marriage. Find time with each other where you're getting with each other, where you're spending time. You've got to do that because the world will just tear you from all sides. You need time to say, how are we doing as a couple? Not how are the kids, not how's job, not how's family. How are we? Because that's what's most important. How are we doing as a couple? How are we doing? And to ask each other, is there anything in our marriage that I could begin to work on to make it better? That's a tough one, huh? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to ask that question. Why would I want to ask it? Anyway, that's the second thing I usually say. Find time. Third thing I say, learn to enjoy life with each other. Learn to laugh. You're different. You're both different. God has brought you from two different worlds. Learn to enjoy the differences in each other and laugh about life. Enjoy it, because God has given you as gifts to each other to enjoy. So laugh. Don't take life so seriously. Take God seriously, but don't take life so seriously. And the fourth thing I say is this: protect your marriage. Protect your marriage. You know? And for the guy, that means telling your wife all the time, I love you, you're beautiful, you're a great mom, you're a great wife, I'm so proud of you, I'm so excited I married you. Because you know what? Women need to hear that. Right? To the guy, tell the woman, I said, to you, you need to say, you know what? I'm for you. I support you. Do not say, I told you so. All right? But say, I trust you. Because the guy needs to hear that. I said, and then the last thing. This is the last suggestion I have. I said, then the last suggestion is, invite God to be a part of your life. I said, because he's a gentleman. He will not intrude. He will not bust in. He will not try to take over. But if you invite him in, he will give the insight you need to be a good husband, to be a good wife. He will do it. But it's like with everything else in our lives, we need to invite him to be a part. And so church, we need to invite the Holy Spirit every day to be a part of our lives, to lead us and guide us in all that we do.